Hey, this is Lawrence. I got super sick this weekend, so I didn't have a chance to edit up the podcast. Instead, enjoy this bonus episode we recorded back when we first started doing the podcast in 2021, and I'll have a full episode next Monday for you guys. Thanks. My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio. So I thought for this we would just do a quick would you rather, or to sort of get back into the spirit of podcasting a little. And it's a simple question, but a surprisingly deep one. Would you rather poop through your mouth or eat with your butt?
This is too easy.
No. Think about it, though, because it's actually a very deep question. Would you rather give up one of life's greatest pleasures if it meant that you also didn't several times a day have to have something unpleasant happen to you? Or would you say, no, I am okay giving up?
Yeah. Or,
no, I don't want pleasure. I also don't want pain. So it's do you want highs and lows, or do you want middle?
I have a follow-up question, yeah. So is this like physiologically our whole digestive system changes, so we're essentially just like puking back up the food after we digest it? Or are we like magically transporting poop from our butt into our mouths just to shit it out? You know what I mean?
I would assume it's not magic, it's just biology, but that the intricacies of the process do mean that the thing coming out of your mouth is very similar to the poop that currently comes out of your butt.
Okay. So you're saying that there's no magic involved, but it's just the same poop as what normally you would have.
Essentially, yeah. There'd probably be minor, like, chemical differences, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Rahul, you go first.
All right, I've got a question. So even though, let's say in the scenario where I eat with my butt, even though I do that, can I still choose to eat with my mouth?
No. You give it all up.
I can't, like, chew it and spit it out.
Nope. You can't have a weird eating disorder, nothing. You just, boom, you're done.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah?
When you eat with your butt, do you still poop out of your butt?
Yes, you do both things. So it's just sort of, your mouth is no longer in the eating equation. You don't have to worry about poop coming out of it, but also you don't get to eat anymore.
So do you not, you don't taste with your butt, right?
No, nothing like that. Let's not get too grotesque. Let's say that your butt somehow through some process is capable of breaking stuff down enough that you can get it up there comfortably and you don't have to mess around with like blenders and funnels and stuff.
You're essentially just, you know, absorbing nutrients.
Yeah.
It's nothing too gross.
It's like set up in such a way that getting it in there isn't too much of a challenge.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah.
Okay. But your butt has teeth for sure though, right?
I mean, I think you would
have to. So you could, like, rend and tear big hunks of meat, you know?
I was kind of picturing it as just, like, an intense kind of pressure that breaks everything down, similar to sort of what your butt can already do.
You've clarified that. I definitely have to go with the butt thing. I mean,
but which butt thing? There are things for a whole.
The eating and pooping out the butt. I mean, if you can generate pressures with your butt, I mean, yeah, your life is terrible, but... You know, maybe you could find a job in some Central European circus. You know, there are all kinds of
the amazing
things you
butt
can do.
You know, Raul, if you're like that good at getting stuff up your butt, I'm not sure you'd need to accept the change to just, you could like build
your
skill
like
up naturally.
You're talking about the pressures you create, you know, like
he's able to pulverize.
Like who's gonna compete with you, you know? Like you could become the king of
a weird novelty act of shoving shit up your butt.
Well, I assume it gets sucked up there, you know, like
I'm having
sort of negative pressure situation.
I'm having trouble visualizing who it is you think is your audience here.
Well, I mean, you two right here. I mean,
I would not watch.
How much
that.
Money do you think there is in that?
Oh, I don't think you'd have a choice, Lawrence.
I think the fact that he mentioned a Central or Eastern European circus suggests that this is basically just a fetish thing. Where you got to go out to center. You got to go out to Eastern
Japan,
Europe.
You know, you got nowhere else to go.
You go out to Eastern Europe where life is cheap and laws are lax, and you start doing butt tricks for the circus.
And the pickles are endless.
Pickles. You're very optimistic about this horrible pickle curse that's turnips. Bestowed upon you.
Watch my butt act with the pickles and the turnips.
I mean, wow. Your butt act is just putting them up your butt, which, I mean, even you could do without this whole curse happening to
what
you.
What if you were, like, a really great, like, you know how that, like, food eating contest? Like, what if you entered one like that?
Yeah. You became, like, Kobayashi, yeah. A hot dog.
You're like, his technique is unorthodox, but...
In fact, explicitly not allowed.
Nothing in the rule book says you can't eat with your butt. I'll allow it.
Except actually, for the part where it has to go in your mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is his mouth, right? Like, because I can't physiologically eat with my mouth anymore.
I think you're so just you'd have to go get I'm sorry, out. I think them's the breaks. Like, you're disqualified from the contest. I don't think that you can really argue with the judge on that one.
You've got to go and get a special dispensation from the head of the World Competitive Eating Association to let you use your butt in the contest.
Yeah, well, then I would eat the judge, and then there'd be no one to stop me.
I would like to specify that in this, the only things you can eat with your butt are about the same things you could eat with your mouth.
Yeah, what? I think Rahul is kind of assuming that for some reason he is eating superpowers now that he eats with his butt.
I mean, it is a superpower. It's just a serious one.
You're just going to flip that around on me and be like, you can't eat anything with your butt now? Like,
I mean, you can't eat anything.
How was that flipping it on you? You're just assuming you can just like suck it up like a black hole for some reason.
Hell yeah.
You know, Rahul, there is actually a film called, I believe, Butt Boy that is about this premise where there is a... I believe it's a detective who is hunting a serial killer, except for some reason the detective can put anything up his ass and has a sort of compulsion that requires him to continue to do so. Let me check.
Who makes these movies, man? Like,
well, I mean we're talking about it.
We're talking about it because you, for some reason, know about it. Otherwise, well, we wouldn't be.
I read a lot of movie reviews.
For some reason.
I read a lot of movie reviews. You read a movie review about a guy shoving shit up his ass. Okay.
Yeah, no, you didn't watch it. No.
So here's the summary. Chip Gutchill, a bored IT engineer, has an awakening after a routine prostate exam. What starts as a harmless rectal kink soon grows into a dangerous addiction as he becomes responsible for a missing child. Chip eventually buries his desires in Alcoholics Anonymous and tries to move on with his life. Years later, he becomes the sponsor of Russell Fox, a newly sober detective. After Chip relapses, Russell is brought in to investigate another missing child at Chip's office. Russell begins to suspect that Chip's addiction may not be alcohol, but something much more sinister. It's up to Russell to prove that Chip uses his butt to make people disappear. But who's going to believe his wild theory?
See, sometimes I'm convinced that Lawrence doesn't read movie reviews. He just, like, writes pitch ideas, and then he, like, kind of uses us as a soundboard for, like, hey, is this, like, too wild and crazy?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're onto something. And they're all, like, I can tell there are elements of his own life in that,
yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, the main character is named Rorance.
Rorance butt-eater.
It's subtle, but it's very similar to his
name.
Yeah,
we got you figured out, man.
So, anyways, let's go around, and I'm going to go ahead and say that I would poop out my mouth. It would be bad, but I think that I could make the poops less tolerable or more tolerable by modifying my diet a bit. And I mean, mouthwash, brushing your teeth, all that. It would be gross, but I mean, I eat a lot of fiber, so pooping is pretty quick for me anyways. And I really like eating food. So
I'm going to be honest, dude. I don't think you would like eating food after pooping out of your mouth.
Maybe you get used to it.
I mean, pooping out of your butt is objectively also pretty gross, and we kind of just gloss over it.
You don't taste it, though. But I think you'd get used to it, though, honestly.
It doesn't get in your nasal cavities. God, okay, this is a disgusting question, dude.
It does happen. This is a physical thing that does happen. With, like,
I don't think it is.
No, it does, with toxic megacolon, I think. What? When you're so backed up, you literally start, you'll vomit feces. It's
yeah,
a
that's a medical
thing.
Condition, bro.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Not, that's not like something that normally
that's why
happens.
I took Megacolon, bro. Yeah. Like, I was saying that the whole time.
Yeah, it's like, hey, would you rather go on living your normal life, or would you rather shoot blood everywhere? Hey, man, some people bleed sometimes, so it's like
you
an
also,
normal thing,
you
bro.
Them, you know?
You guys
saying.
Are giving me a lot of shit for knowing about the film Butt Boy, which was covered in the AV Club, and yet Rahul just happens to know about these horrifying medical conditions, and no one's like, what was were you Googling? That led to you learning about toxic megacolon.
Obviously porn. God.
Well, I mean, that's what we assumed.
Yeah, you sicko, Lawrence.
What were you assuming?
Anyways, Rahul, what do you think?
I don't know. You know, this discussion has made me realize that maybe my idea of being the star of a Central European circus is maybe I'm not cut out for that.
It's a little above your station, bud.
Yeah, maybe just God didn't just, it wasn't in the stars for me. So I'm switching to the eating and pooping out of my mouth only because I think it'd make me really good in a human centipede scenario. You know?
I mean, that is one of the few ways you can win at a human centipede.
I might be able to win
if
that.
If you're in the front.
What if you're the rear?
Oh, well, if you're in the rear, then it's the other guy's problem now.
Is it though? Because it's still in your face.
Well, I assume you can build up so much pressure that you can, like, blow them all off, you know?
So, Rahul...
That's why I work on my abs so much, you know?
So, Rahul has picked pooping and eating with his mouth entirely because he thinks it would help him in a human centipede sitch.
Yeah.
Ronald?
That's not the worst reason I've ever heard.
I mean, people... I was going to say human centipedes don't happen, but then Rahul was going to come back with a horrifying medical condition that makes you a human centipede.
There's actually... It's called centipedosis, actually.
Yeah. It's a normal thing. Okay, some people have it.
You should be that, judgmental.
That's why that movie said it was 100% medically accurate.
My God. You know, this is a truly vile question.
I gotta check that if it is toxic megacolon. Anyway, sorry.
I don't think you do. I'd be pretty happy with you not checking that.
I mean, honestly, it's not. I don't think it's exclusive to any single disease, man. Anytime you get blocked up for enough time, you will start
vomiting.
Vomiting feces. Yeah. It's called
feculent vomiting.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's more of a symptom.
This turned out to be way grosser than I thought it was going to be, but then it's like, why did I think it wasn't going to
be? Yeah, why would you not think it was? You're talking about eating poop.
Oh, this is so sad. Fecal vomiting has been identified as a cause of death.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I would also assume suicide. And also suicide after it keeps happening to you.
This is so crazy. Cited in liver cancer, ovarian cancer, and colorectal cancer. Weird. Liver cancer, I would not have thought of that. Anyway, you were saying, Ronald?
They're both vile answers. I'd probably just eat with my butt, I guess.
I mean, that one is not vile. It's just you're giving up a lot of pleasure to not have a disgusting thing
happen
to you.
I don't think it would be hard to have a social life at that point.
I mean, I ate a big lunch. I don't need to join you, but I'm very happy to go to the movies with you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna
I'm super thirsty. Can somebody get the turkey baster?
No, I specified you don't have to do that. Also, it's eat with your mouth, not drink with your mouth. Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, can I drink milkshakes?
Oh fuck. Yeah, I realized after I said that no, then you just say eat with your butt and subsist on Soylent.
Yeah. That wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
I could do that. In fact, I might do it just for fun. Now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, I did a Soylent diet for like 2 weeks.
Oh, how was it?
It's kind of terrible.
It sounds.
I pretty much
awful.
Hated it.
I don't know if I could.
It didn't taste that bad, but all liquid diet, man, I don't recommend it.
Would you?
I quite like the taste of Soylent, actually.
Yeah, I think it doesn't taste that bad. Yeah.
You just get really hungry?
It does not fill up your stomach.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, you do subsist on the calories, but. I mean, I just felt hungry.
You just don't feel satisfied ever.
Yeah. Well, when I started, it was like that. And then after a little while, you kind of got used to it. But I don't know. I wouldn't recommend
it. Why did you do that?
I wanted to try it because, like, apparently that's a thing you can do. It has all of your nutrients, man.
Well, as far as they know, I don't trust them.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to do it forever. I just did it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, fair enough. But it did mess you up. I remember you before and after Soylent, and you were a totally different
yeah,
person.
I was just a different guy.
You yeah. were this, yeah, the post-Soylent guy is, like, super cool.
Yeah, just, like, really chill.
Super chill.
Yeah. Pre-Soylent guy was also chill, but...
I mean, I think the main difference is just that Ronald wears sunglasses all the time now, and he didn't before.
Yeah. And I'm always doing finger guns.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of unclear if it's connected to the Soylent, frankly. He might have just gone to a sunglass store.
And the salesman was like, finger guns. And he was like, dude, that is
I was
cool.
like, that's my new thing. Yeah,
so,
cool.
Anyways, let's do some recommendations and cautions because, you know, we haven't done them for a while. I'll go first. For recommendations, I really, really enjoyed Godzilla vs. Kong. It is a dumb movie, an incredibly dumb movie. And on the second viewing, a lot of it is not monster fighting, which is a mistake. I understand why they had to do that because those monster fights are really good and must have been incredibly expensive to film. But still, it only has two really good monster fights in it. And it seems like it should probably have had at least another one and maybe even more than that. And I'm also going to go ahead and throw out a recommendation for running extremely long distances. It takes a while to work yourself up to it, but it's like, hey, if you can get it, you put in like 2 hours in the morning and you feel amazing for the rest of the day. So that's pretty good. And as far as cautions go, I have been playing I played a bit of the new Resident Evil game, Resident Evil Village. And sure. I am frankly baffled by why those games are so popular. I find them... It might be that I'm playing it on the hard mode. Apparently on normal mode, you basically don't die. But on hard mode, I die, you know, not super a lot, but a fair amount. And that makes the game incredibly frustrating because you're constantly going through these, like, impossible, or not impossible, but these things where an immortal, invincible enemy is chasing you and you have to run. And the first time or two, it's pretty stressful. And then after that, it's just like, oh, great, this shit again. And, you know... It loses the scariness after a while, and it isn't very fun to like replace the scariness the way like Resident Evil 4 wasn't particularly scary either, but it was great fun. So I, again, do not understand why people like those games and why I keep buying them. Rahul, do you have a recommendation in caution?
Yeah, I would caution you against watching Godzilla vs. Kong.
You motherfucker. You absolute motherfucker. I'm going to replace you.
The pod person.
Well, I just meant on the episode, but yeah, I might also do that.
Oh, that makes more sense. I don't know why I went immediately to the body snatchers, but...
I just feel like Kong isn't buff enough to roll with Godzilla, you know, like, I mean, but anyway, I don't actually recommend against that. I would say that my recommendation is I rewatched Death Note and I liked it a lot, so I'd recommend that.
The film or the anime? The anime.
The anime. I actually didn't know there was a movie.
Weirdly, that movie, it's on Netflix, made by the same guy who did Godzilla vs. Kong.
What?
Adam Wingard.
No way. That is a weird coincidence.
And it stars Willem Dafoe as Ryuk. And also...
He is perfect. Oh, that is a perfect role for him.
Yeah. The twist, though, is that it's not very good. It got very bad reviews. When I watched it, it was during my drinking phase. I have since gotten sober. But so I didn't... I wasn't really sober enough to like assess its quality, but
I would think it'd be hard to turn a series of that length into a single movie.
I watched it. It's not very good, but I will say it has a very different plot than the.
Oh, it does. Okay, yeah. Interesting. So. Is it in Japanese or English?
It's in English.
Okay, interesting. Cool. Well, that's my recommendation.
Do you have a caution aside from one that just makes me hate you?
Caution. Can't think of anything terrible. Well, you know, I was talking with Ron and you separately about this, but the what is it? That Avengers show, what was the name of it? Is the one with that agent Oh, I thought it was so bad.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, my God. I thought it was terrible.
Ah.
Cliche after cliche.
How much did you watch?
Like 2 episodes or something.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, it just felt cheap.
Like, it's supposed to get significantly better. Like, it was released around the same time. It was supposed to, like, tie in with the Marvel movies. Mm. And do you remember how in Captain America, like, the second one, S.H.I.E.L.D. turns out to be evil?
Yes.
Apparently, they like, do something interesting with that on the show. I don't know, man. I gave up after about 6 episodes.
That does sound interesting, but yeah, I've never been able to make it through the first season.
Yeah, it's a problem when the interesting thing on your show happens halfway through season 2. That is sort of how Deep Space Nine worked, but that's the only time it's worked.
Yeah, I mean, all the Star Treks are, like, the first season's bad, right?
Yeah, but Deep Space Nine specifically, they don't even introduce the Dominion until, I think, like, the end of season 2, and it's like, that's the whole thing the show's about. It's
kind of
amazingly ballsy that they did that.
It's basically just a character show until then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but yeah, I'm with you guys. I just can't. I don't know.
Understandable. Yeah. Well, that's it for me.
Cool. I guess it's my turn. Recommendations. I just watched Mayor of Easttown. It was pretty good. Enjoyed it. Kate Winslet's great. Not 100% stellar recommendation on my part. I liked it quite a bit, though. I love kind of mystery shows. This was kind of a fun one in a small town. A lot of interpersonal connections with, like, basically everyone involved with the main character. So that was all fun. I thought the mystery of the show was kind of iffy, but overall I thought it was pretty good. So that's probably a recommendation. A caution, I will say, is moving across the country. It sucks. It's a lot of work, and you just don't realize how much you have to do until you do it. Or maybe you've already done it, and so you do realize it, but either way, it is just an enormous amount of work.
How would you make it easier?
How would I make it easier?
Yeah.
Have you considered burning all your possessions?
Yeah, if you have, like, nothing, then it's not so bad. I don't have, like, any
pets
items. But even then, it's just like, you know, you have to do, like, some paperwork. And moving is a pain. Moving even inside of your own state's a pain.
Oh, okay. Like paperwork, like IDs and car stuff.
Exactly, yeah, car stuff. Even think about, you know, change that. All your bank statements.
Insurance. And
yeah.
Yeah, if you're going for a house, the house stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
if you're
rich
enough, you could just hire somebody to do the all.
Yeah, or... check this out. So you burn all your possessions. You also you burn off your fingerprints. That's important. Maybe do something so that your retinal scans don't work on you anymore. Perhaps wear contact lenses all the time. You hitch your way across the country. You, of course, kill everyone who picks you up. And then when you get to wherever you want to live, you just home invade someone, brutally slaughter the family, like really paint the house in their blood. And then you live there for about a month, and then you just keep doing that. That seems like it'd be pretty easy.
That is a compelling plan, actually.
Yeah,
Ronald.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. Yeah,
you could move back here and try it again, maybe.
Yeah, just give it the old redo, do over. Yeah. All right, Lawrence, you've convinced me. I'm going to commit murder.
So, how do you hitchhike, having never done it? Like, that seems like the hardest part of this entire plan.
That's the hardest part, not taking multiple human lives.
You ever seen The Hitcher?
No, I don't watch horror movies. So
the first scared. So, step number one, you got to be Rutger Hauer. He's the only person who can hitchhike. Step two, you got to find C. Thomas Howell. He's the only person who will pick you up. No, actually, I take that back. He gets picked up by someone else, and I got to have this joke be accurate. Step three, you gotta have a weird cat and mouse across the American Southwest until eventually C. Thomas Howell murders you with a shotgun.
Oh, that's too bad. Or
yeah.
Unless it isn't, I'm not sure. Where
it's a really good movie.
Hitcher?
You should watch it. You can get some good tips on how to hitchhike.
Yeah, I'll watch it, dude.
It also shows you how to take down an entire police helicopter with a single shot from what appears to be a .38 pistol.
I feel like a lot of movies do that, you know? Like, maybe helicopters are easy to take down. I'm not sure, but movies certainly make them easy to take down.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, I don't have a lot of personal experience shooting at helicopters, so can't weigh in on that one, sadly.
Yeah, this one time, there was this helicopter, and it was like blocking like a tunnel. So like I like ramped my car at it, like speared like out of the sky.
I remember that.
Yeah, the problem was that I was out of a car after that. So that kind right. of sucked.
So Raul,
that was during
I
that
this...
giant American hack. Right?
The hack, yeah, the hack. I can't believe why is no one talking about
it? No one is talking about it.
Now, Raul, I believe I remember this incident, and my memory is that you had an enormous gun with you at the time that you could have used to shoot down the helicopter and yet chose not to. Was there a reason for that?
Yeah, I was saving ammo.
Oh, man. I set you up so good, and you couldn't quite land it. Because his quip after he does that is, I was out of bullets.
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. See, you know, everything after the helicopter went down is just a blur for me.
Well, you're saving the gun in case like a jet fighter attacked you while you're driving your truck.
Oh yeah, exactly. Who knows? That might happen. You know, like it's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Or maybe you needed to menace like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, your daughter, because she was making bad life decisions, and you felt that a loaded gun would be better at that than an unloaded one.
Look, there's one in the chamber. That's how hardcore I am.
Because otherwise, you're walking up to her boyfriend and being like, yeah. You treat her with respect. And he's like, dude, that gun isn't even loaded. I'm not scared of you at all.
You look so pathetic right now.
You are so embarrassing, dude.
Everyone's looking at you.
With your unloaded gun? Ugh.
He's a bad father in those movies. He's not a good husband
either.
Well,
he saves her life, right? Like,
yeah, but he's also like super controlling and weird.
I mean, he's also the reason that she did get kidnapped. So
he's honestly not really a great cop either. He's pretty good at killing people, though.
Yeah, especially like in the later sequels, like Live Free or Die Hard, and A Good Day to Die Hard, where he's basically just what if the Terminator like was emotionless because he was bad at acting as opposed to because he was a robot.
What if the Terminator was bald?
Cinema has never dared to ask.
Skynet would never make a bald Terminator. They don't blend in.
There he is!
It's just like, okay, show us your hair. And then he pulls his hood down. It's like no hair. And they're like, yep, that's a Terminator. Waste him.
I can see the light shining off of his chrome dome.
It's either Terminator or Hitman. Either way.
Just kill him.
Anyways, this is pretty good, but I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now.
All right.
It's good.
So, you guys
too.
Go ahead and... If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Life's gonna gather it.